Hello, this is Gary Hutchins with the Sunny Slope Church of Christ in Omaha, Nebraska. This is today's Bible class, a short Bible study every single day, 7 days a week, only about 13, 14 minutes usually, but it keeps us in God's Word, and that helps us to stay strong in our faith, because faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. It also helps us stay focused on our spiritual lives, and that's important. Help people in your life whom you know who need to make that change, to grow in their faith, to come closer to God, to start thinking about their souls. Share these studies with them through Facebook friends, text messages, other technological means. Help them to grow in their faith. You may help them get to heaven even. What a great blessing for them, but also for you. Make that commitment. Start sharing today. We're going to get back into our new line of thought and study. We're asking the question, what does it mean to come to Jesus? A whole lot of people talk about coming to Jesus. A whole lot of people talk about getting saved, getting faith, but I'm not sure. In fact, I'm almost positive a whole lot of them really do not understand the fullness and the depth of what that means. Jesus extended the great invitation, as we call it, to everybody. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. He said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Coming to Jesus is not just a statement. It's not just a feeling. It is an action. It is a change of life. It is a commitment of my life to come to Jesus, to walk with him. Think about when Jesus called the apostles one by one, or maybe in some cases two or more at a time, to come follow him. What did they do? They didn't say, "Oh yeah, Jesus, we're going to follow you." No, they left what they were doing and they got up and followed him. It was action on their parts. And that's what God expects of us, what our Savior, Jesus, expects of us in coming to him today. Notice that it says, he said in that great invitation, "Take my yoke upon you." A yoke was, we might think of it as somewhat of a crude harness, wooden, you know, when you go back into ancient times, and still in some places even used that way today, over a team of oxen. And that yoke would be fitted around their neck, and then they would be harnessed to a wagon, a cart, and they would pull that load. They were beasts of burden. Jesus is not trying to put any kind of negative connotation upon it. He simply is saying, you need to follow me in action. You need to take upon you the commitment to walk with me, to walk with me. You know, several times we read in the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, where Jesus says, anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. And Luke's account actually adds the word daily in there. Take up his cross daily. We've got to follow Jesus in an active way, a way of commitment. We are going to follow him all the way. In fact, Jesus said in Revelation 2 and verse 10, at the end of that verse, "Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." And the idea of faithfulness is putting my faith into action through obedience and commitment and dedication on a consistent, continuing basis. That's faithfulness. Jesus said, be faithful until death. What does it mean to come to Jesus? Again, it's not just a statement on our part. It's not just a feeling that comes over us. It's not a smile that comes to our face. It is all of that, perhaps, but absolutely connected to I'm going to change my life. I'm going to walk with my Lord. I'm going to live by His teachings communicated to me through the Scriptures. When those men whom Jesus chose to be His apostles were called to follow Him, they actively followed Him. And He taught them for the next 3 years or so His word. He taught them what would become Scripture. Some of them would actually be chosen by God to write it down through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Come to me. We must believe in God, Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he who would come to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And we must believe in Jesus, because God the Father and God the Son go together. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 24, I said therefore that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. What does it mean to come to Jesus? Jesus promised rest from a spiritual perspective. Again, He's not talking about getting a good night's sleep. He's not talking about taking a really good sound nap for an hour or so. He's talking about spiritual rest. In Hebrews chapter 3, beginning with verse 7, we read this. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial, in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Now Jesus says, come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, this is a text taken from Psalm 95. And here the Hebrews writer, he quotes it. And he talks about the people of Israel. The people of Israel in old times, Old Testament times, in the wilderness, God had delivered them from bondage in Egypt. He had opened the Red Sea and allowed them to cross on dry ground. And then, as the pursuing Egyptian army had entered that pathway of dry ground between two walls of water that God had split open for the Israelites to escape, He closed those waters, closed that wall, those walls of waters upon the Egyptian army and destroyed them. He fed them miraculously in the wilderness for 40 years. He gave them water miraculously for 40 years. He blessed them that their clothes did not wear out for 40 years. The soles of their shoes did not wear out for 40 years. He delivered them all the way to the border of the promised land, which would become their land, Israel. He blessed them over and over again. But over and over again, the Israelites turned away from God to one degree or another. They stopped believing in Him taking care of them, at least in the ways they wanted Him to. Notice what the text says again. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness. Their faith kept waning. Their faith kept weakening. And they kept challenging God in unfaithfulness, weak faith. And so God, at one point, He said, that's it. I will not allow this adult generation to enter that promised land. And so He said, all from 20 years old and upward, they will die in the wilderness. That's why they had to piddle around for 40 years in that wilderness. But even though during those 40 years, God still took care of them, still fed them, still gave them water, protected them from their enemies, but their weak faith denied them entry into the promised land. And God raised up a new generation, the children of those adults, those parents and grandparents whose faith were not strong enough in God to stay dedicated to Him without question. So the children grew up. They had stronger faith, and God led them into that promised land. We need to understand to come to Jesus, we must come to Him in absolute faith, absolute trust, absolute commitment. We drop down to verses 18 and 19 in Hebrews chapter 3, and we read further. To whom did He swear that they would not enter His rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Those who did not have sufficient faith to continue to obey God were denied entry into the promised land. What is our promised land today that Jesus calls us to? When He says, come to Me, take My yoke upon you, learn from Me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Well, the Israelites were looking for that rest of having their own home and being delivered from bondage and from enemies around them. They wanted their own home. God promised it to them, promised it to them going all the way back to their forefathers, all the way back to Abraham. But they had to follow God faithfully, obediently, to be able to receive that promised land and to be able to continue in it with all of its blessings. A land the Scriptures describe as being flowing with milk and honey. What is the rest, the ultimate rest that Jesus promises us if we will come to Him as He calls us to do? Eternal rest in heaven. Eternal life in heaven with all of its bliss, where there is no more pain or suffering or sickness or tears or dying. But what did verses 18 and 19 say? To whom did He swear, referring back to the Israelites in Old Testament times, that they would not enter His rest, but to those who did not obey Him? And we'll look at that in connection with what it means to come to Jesus next time. Let's pray. Father, help us to see that the only way for us to have the ultimate hope that You offer us is to come to You through Jesus. And help us to learn obedience in that coming. Please, we pray. Please forgive us, gracious Father. Guide us to live to Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.